In the name of Jesus, amen. We've been working our way through 1 John in these after Easter Sundays. John was one of the 12. He's the one that Jesus entrusted with Mary, his mother, to take care of. John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And tradition tells us he was the last one to die. Towards the end of his gospel, John writes these words. Now John did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John writes because he wants his readers to have life. Not just physical, heart-beating, lung-breathing life, but that life which goes on forever, which cannot be stopped, which is given to us freely in Jesus. The Word of God teaches clearly that Jesus died and rose again. In 1 John, John unpacks what that means. What does it mean for us as we live out our lives as Christians that Jesus rose again? We've looked at how it means that we have the possibility of having joy. It means that we have the assurance that as Jesus physically, bodily rose from the dead, we too will bodily, physically rise. It reminds us that we have the command to love one another. It reminds us that we are in a place where we can separate truth from error because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And this morning we hear that one of the implications of the resurrection is that we overcome the world. John writes, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" That's a pretty big statement, to overcome the world. That means the world must be some kind of obstacle, some kind of block, something that prevents us from getting somewhere. And John says that when you believe in Jesus, you overcome the world. And everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That's an incredible promise. And yet, you know, we'd have to say, it doesn't look that way. It just doesn't look that way. There are Christians who get the COVID virus, not different than anybody else. Doesn't look like they've overcome the world. There are Christians who struggle with depression and anxiety and family troubles and financial difficulties. Doesn't look like they've overcome the world. Doesn't look any different. In fact, when we look around, we'd have to say, wait a minute, John, you say we believe in Jesus, that we overcome the world, but it just doesn't look that way when you look around. In fact, sometimes it seems that things just keep getting worse and worse. And you wonder, well, how does this work? How does one overcome the world? And yet that is what John writes. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So, how are we to think of these things? When we look around us, at our own circumstances, or the circumstances of our community, or our nation, or even the world, and we say, you know, it doesn't look very good, we'd also have to say, it's never looked very good. It's never looked very good. If you could go back 15 months ago from where we're at today and think, well, you know, I didn't have any anxiety back then. No, you'd be kidding yourself. You did. Things might have been different, but there were still plenty of things 15 months ago, 5 years ago, that you could have looked and pointed your finger at and say, boy, you know, things don't look very good. And you wouldn't have been wrong. The idea of the good old days, that's really a fantasy not based in reality. And the truth is, if you think that This world is where you will find the things that bring joy and peace of mind and heart. You're always going to be chasing and never finding. And the sad part of that is it's really unnecessary because everything that we need is given to us freely in Jesus. But when we look around at what we see, we have to confess and say it doesn't look very good. But then we'd also have to say it's never looked very good. And then we'd have to say, as Christians, our faith is not based on how it looks. Based on what we hear and what God's Word tells us to be true. There's an amazing Bible story in Daniel chapter 3, and some of you might remember this from your Sunday school days. The three men in the fiery furnace. King of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he built this giant golden image. And he told the people, whenever you hear the music, the trumpets blaring, the sound, that's the signal you're supposed to bow down and worship the golden image. And if you don't do that, we're going to throw you into a fiery furnace. Now, this is a true story. This is not a myth or a legend. It's a true story. And so the king when the signal was given, everybody bowed down, except there were three men that wouldn't bow down. Why not? Because they were worshipers and believers in the true God. And somebody tattled on them. Somebody ratted out to the king, hey, there's those three guys that aren't bowing down when that music is played. Didn't look very good. And so the king, being upset, had the three men come to him, and he asks them, what's going on? And this is what the three men say. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I don't know if you caught that. They said, we're not going to bow down. Our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down because we know who the true God is. What did those men believe in? They believed in the resurrection. Even if they were going to die, they knew their God had the power to bring them back to life again. Well, of course, that just made King Nebuchadnezzar even angrier. He has the furnace fired up even hotter, has the men pitched in, and even the guards who threw them in. The fire was so hot, they got burned up. King Nebuchadnezzar, he looks in the furnace to see these three men get burned up. And he looks in there and he sees three men walking around. In fact, there's a fourth man in there. Looks like the son of God, had a divine appearance, and no doubt it was probably the pre-incarnate Jesus. And Nebuchadnezzar is just shocked. He has the men brought out of the furnace. They're not harmed in one bit. Their hair isn't singed. Their clothing isn't burned. They don't even smell like smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar repents. Those three men believed in the true God, regardless of how things looked. They knew the truth of God's word. And they put their faith in the God who gives us the power to overcome the world. Every day, you could say for one reason or another, things don't look very good, and you'd be right. Except when you hear about Jesus. Jesus is not based on how things look. He's based on what he has done for you. He died for you and rose for you. And when he died on the cross, things certainly didn't look very good on that day, but that event became the greatest picture of love this world has ever seen. The resurrection of Jesus makes it so. We are not saved by how things look. We are saved in spite of how things look. Jesus doesn't look at your sins. He forgives them. Jesus doesn't say you have to earn your way to heaven. He says, I've got a place for you. Jesus makes it so, not based on how things look, but based on the truth of what he has done for you. All you need is given in Jesus. The world and its desires, it's all passing away. It's all temporary. But the one who does the will of God, The one who believes in Jesus, the one whom the Father has sent, will live forever and overcomes the world, no matter how it looks. Our God can, has, does, and will raise the dead. That is our hope and promise. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.